This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show,
the podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
Celebrating 10 years of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290 and TSN1290.ca.
Hey everyone, this is Matt Laughlin, the radio play-by-play announcer for the New Jersey Devils. I want to offer my heartiest congratulations on the 10th anniversary of the Illegal Curve. But where did the time go? I recall receiving a call early on from one of you. I can't recall if it was Ezra or Drew, to ask if I would be a guest. I was honored to be asked, and it was just as you were getting a toehold in the Winnipeg media landscape. I had so much fun discussing Devils hockey with knowledgeable hosts, but more importantly, good people who cared about the show, the sport, the team, the city, and the province. I'm thrilled that I've been back on the program many times. And look where you are now, the longest-running local program on TSN Radio in Winnipeg. What a marvelous accomplishment, and well-earned. Congratulations again, and here's to 10 more years. Be well, everyone.
The AHL, first and foremost, is a developmental league, and in this case, not having your guys on the ice, those that you didn't stash in Europe already, it's going to be a long time before they're playing again, so they want to get them on the ice as soon as possible. They were holding out hope that the AHL might be able to start before the NHL, and I think at this point, there's concern that some AHL teams might not come back at all next season. That's what the Syracuse Crunch owner said today.
That's TSN senior hockey reporter Frank Saravelli giving his analysis about the AHL's announcement that they're planning to return to play in early February. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Saturday morning. We're live here on TSN Radio 1290. Big thank you to Matt Laughlin, our good friend, New Jersey Devils play-by-play broadcaster. He actually joined us last week, if you recall correctly, to talk about the Devils and to talk about Doc Emrick.
Yep.
And so nice of him to record that little blurb on our 10th anniversary here on TSN Radio 1290.
Well, if Doc Emrick comes on, I'm obviously not expecting Doc Emrick to thank us. I mean, that would just be too much, but I mean, Matty Laughlin is a beauty. We've had the opportunity over the years to go out and have a couple of cold ones with him. So, I mean, this is just overwhelming because, you know, for those listening or just tuning in, we had no idea that this was being put together, you know, by Rack and others at the station. So, you know, just awesome. And, you know, I'm just anticipating, you know, Richie to jump out of a cake here later.
I don't think that's going to be happening whatsoever. This segment of the program brought to you by our good friends at Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, officially declared the funniest place in Winnipeg by Illegal Curve Hockey. For over 30 years, Rumors has been bringing Winnipeg the best in stand-up comedy. To purchase tickets or for a list of performers and showtimes, visit rumorscomedyclub.com. Of course, right now, no performances upcoming, unfortunately. Code Red here in the city of Winnipeg. Rumors being forced to, you know, as a responsible business owner, as a responsible member of the community that they are, they're going to be shutting down. No shows for, unfortunately, the next couple of weeks. Hopefully it won't be much longer than that. Do your part. Support them. Support other local businesses. Buy a gift card. Buy tickets to an upcoming show. I'm not sure if their kitchen's going to be open, but I know previously in the last shutdown it was. People were having nachos delivered to their doors because the Rumors nachos are just that famous and just that delightful and desirable. Do your part. Support Rumors. Support other local businesses. Do your part. Do what you can to keep our small businesses afloat in this unprecedented times, to use that cliche that has been driven into the ground and then some. Let's talk about the announcement earlier this week from the AHL in that they're going to return on February the 5th.
That's targeting.
They're targeting a return to play on February 5th. Still up in the air, as you heard Frank Saravelli talking about there, how that's going to look, how many teams are going to be playing, you know, if they're not able to have people in the arena, that's certainly going to be a huge negative on the bottom line for so many of the AHL teams that are strictly gate-driven.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, kudos to Scott Housen, the new AHL commissioner, and the AHL Board of Governors.
What a year to come into your first year as a commissioner.
Crazy year. You know, he'll never have another year like this, God willing, of course. But at least they have a plan. They have a target. They have something that they're shooting towards. Meanwhile, the NHL and the NHLPA haven't even met. And I'm not trying to be critical or overly critical, because I understand that things are changing on an hour-by-hour basis. But I do find it a little bit bizarre that they haven't even met, and they're supposedly going to be meeting for the first time sometime next week, that this far after the end of the Stanley Cup playoffs, and this far after the draft, and this far after free agency, that both sides haven't at least had haven't sat down to have some form of a conversation about what the next year is going to look like.
Yeah, no, I agree with you, but we had Dennis on during the first hour, and he was mentioning that there's no doubt that conversations and meetings have been happening behind the scenes, even though, as you mentioned, the formal meeting hasn't happened. But you have to think, guys, that there's a lot of work and a lot of different planning going on here. And, I think it's becoming more and more clear that early January is probably unrealistic. And it's looking like, mid to late January or early February is more optimistic, right? Mm-hmm. And, I think I speak for everyone here when I say that we're hoping, that at least half of an AHL season happens here. And, there's a lot of talk about, American AHL franchises possibly playing in Canada, right? Because of just the amount of cases and travel restrictions, mm-hmm. right? But there's just so much uncertainty, so it's really tough to speculate. But, it would certainly be a shame, if there was no AHL season. They're going to do everything they can to make sure there is a season. And I think, one of the biggest reasons it would be a shame, in addition to so many people that are employed by American Hockey League teams, because you have so many players, that are in limbo, right, mm-hmm. Dave? I mean, you talked about it. Not everybody has gone overseas.
Right.
So, I mean, there are players that are waiting to find out what's happening. Like, is February going to happen? And it looks like there is a good chance it's going to happen. But, mm-hmm. We've talked about it so many times. So many things can happen in November and December that would make February impossible, most of which would be, the amount of cases in Canada and the U.S. So, as far as, the NHL start date, I mean, when you hear Gary Bettman and Bill Daly talk recently, I mean, they admit, and Pierre LeBrun also, and Darren Dreger, when they're on TSN Radio 1290, they're saying that, don't expect the season next year to necessarily end by the time the Summer Olympics start. I mean, that was reported by the insiders that there is a chance.
I also don't believe there's going to be a Summer Olympics.
And that's further reason to not necessarily think that the 2021 season has to end in July.
I'll talk about that artificial date.
I agree with you. I think the Summer Olympics at this point are a long shot.
I would agree that. I mean, I would love for there to be a Summer Olympics, but I don't know that it's a foregone conclusion that there's going to be a Summer Olympics right now.
But I think the NHL also learned one valuable lesson.
Nobody's going to watch in the summer.
I'm sorry. Like, the numbers, this is what the worst watched Stanley Cup. I mean, think about it. You had a riveted, people couldn't go anywhere, and yet people weren't paying attention. So what makes you think for the second year in a row you can go into July and August and Canadians are going to care? They're not.
I think the NHL doesn't want to, Dave. And I'm with you. I mean, when you look at not just the American ratings, mm-hmm. right? Because the Canadian ratings are usually higher.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you obviously didn't have a Canadian team in the Stanley Cup final, and you had markets that are, I guess, what you would say, not the biggest markets. Like, you didn't have, New York, Chicago, L.A.
Right.
I mean, obviously, Dallas, there's a lot of people in Dallas. But Dallas, Tampa Bay, just as in terms of, the history of those franchises, those aren't the most popular teams, let's be honest.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, Tampa Bay was a great story, and, after getting swept, they win it. One of the best regular season teams. But I agree. I think, the NHL is for sure, hoping that they can award the Stanley Cup in early July as opposed to early September. But the thing is, guys, that might be out of their control.
Oh, I agree, but I'm just saying that that would mitigate the idea that you need to, especially depending on how many games. Now, the point is, and what Dennis said, and I think he's right, he could come on here, could have come on our show and said a bunch of things, but you don't know about the accuracy of your statements. So it's all speculation. Now, the one thing I would focus on, and from taking it to a local perspective, is the number of Jets draft picks who are really going to be in limbo. To Ezzie's point, I was looking at it. You've got Logan Stanley, Jonathan Kovacevic, Scott, I had Skylar McKenzie on my list, but obviously he's now signed in Germany. CJ Cease, Luke Green, Declan Chisholm, Christian Reichel, who's actually in the Czech Republic right now. I'm surprised he hasn't actually signed somewhere. And Eric Comrie. So you've got these guys who have been drafted by the Jets or signed by the Jets, who are young guys who, and again, the guys who played with the Moose last year haven't played since March 7th or 8th. So that's a long time. You're asking them to wait 11 months between games, which is why I agree with Dennis. I think we're going to see a lot of these guys go over and play in, whether it's the second tier in Europe, or if they can get into a whatever the situation is. I think you want them playing sooner rather than later, given that it's, obviously a safe situation, because for them to take off that much time, I mean, again, from their point of view, like Dennis said, hockey players just want to play hockey. But you also have to think, you know, you're going to have guys that you're competing with who may have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 months of training and playing pro hockey, and you're going to be so much farther behind them. So guys don't want to fall behind. So I think, you know, while the AHL is kind of that, you know, February target, and the NHL, we don't know, there may be an expanded roster. So those guys may have an opportunity to at least train with the Jets, you know, the guys like Dylan Sandberg, that sort of idea. But there's not going to be that much room. So, again, there's a lot up in the air, but I just think, like, from a developmental perspective, that's kind of the biggest kind of wrench right now that's out there, is because these guys are, you know, going to have 11 months between games. That's too long, I think.
How confident? So one last question. Are you guys 100% confident there's going to be an NHL season next year?
No, I'm not. And I think it's because of what has happened across North America, right? Like, I mean, we're lucky we get to talk about hockey and the Jets right now on air, you know, but our world here in Winnipeg especially, we've got some of, you know, the highest per capita case numbers here. And obviously, you know, we're hoping that everyone is being, you know, safe and healthy and you know, it's just there's so much uncertainty. We don't know when these cases are going to start to come down. We just don't know when the curve is going to be flat, not only here, but across the country and the U.S. So, no, I mean, I'm not 100% certain there is going to be a season, and it's looking more and more likely, Drew. I think, you know, people have to start, you know, accepting the reality that there's a good chance that if there is a 2021 NHL season, there aren't going to be fans, not just at the beginning.
So
but
if there's
the whole
not going to be fans, and the financial ramifications are going to be overwhelming for the ownership perspective.
Mm-hmm.
You know, are they eager to even play the games with no fans when you might actually save money by not playing at all and just and waiting a whole year?
I think you're losing money either way.
Well, I mean, of course, but I think what Drew's suggestion is, would you be losing less money by not?
If you don't have to pay out salary because you don't have to.
Yeah,
you know.
I mean, I think, look, the reality is we knew there were financial ramifications for them finishing 2019-20 season. Obviously, they had contractual obligations that, you know, weren't going to be mitigated.
That needed to be wrapped up.
That's right. Weren't going to be mitigated by COVID. That needed to be completed, needed to be fulfilled. Otherwise, they would have bled into this season. So yeah, Drew, there's no question. You can't take the financial aspects of this. This is a business. As much as you love hockey because hockey is a sport, you know, when you're playing it on the rinks, when you're playing shinny, of course, you love it for the pure sport aspect of it. But when it comes to the NHL, when it comes to the AHL, it's a business.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people don't go into business to lose money. So the owners have to factor that in. People might not like it, but, I mean, I'm sorry, when you're writing a check for tens of millions of dollars, you want to know that your product has a chance to return you something. Even if you're being a steward and you understand, hey, I might have to take a hit now because, you know, I'm sure the owners understand that. But at the end of the day, we have to understand that that is a ramification. That's something that they have to factor in when they're in the totality of the decision-making.
Winnipeg Jets draft pick Cole Perfetti was among those invited to the Hockey Canada orientation camp for the upcoming World Junior Tournament. We'll talk about that invitation. We'll talk about the list of players invited up next. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. For the past 10 years, Saturdays have been for the Curve on TSN Radio. 1290.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast
on TSN1290.ca. 10 years of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN1290 and TSN1290.ca.
Hey guys, Michael Remus here. Just wanted to say congratulations on 10 years here at the station. It feels like yesterday when we just walked in to what was then Sports Radio 1290, the Winnipeg Jets 2.0 weren't even a thing. And I think it was shortly after that we had Bill Daly on, and it kind of seemed like it was a possibility. We've always said the show must go on, and you guys have been here every Saturday for 10 years now, no matter what, talking about the Jets and all the hockey news. So I just want to say again, big congratulations.
When they get down to the final roster, how do you like Team Canada's chances at a repeat?
Well, number one, it's not going to be easy to get down to the final roster because of the quality of player that's coming to the selection camp. This is as deep a roster as I have seen in a lot of years for Hockey Canada, and that includes lockout years.
TSN Director of Scouting Craig Button talking about the upcoming evaluation camp, selection camp, for Team Canada ahead of the World Juniors set to begin, of course, on Boxing Day, right around there in the bubble in Edmonton. Also, a big thank you to Remus for showing that same level of enthusiasm that that made him such a valuable member of this team for the past, you know, however many years. You know, no longer is it slow as molasses, it's slow as Remus, is what the phrase is going to be. But always nice to hear from our good friend Michael in that case.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Remo was a big part of the show back in the day when we were on Kick FM and then transferred to 1290, and then he obviously became a hotshot producer, and now he doesn't even return our texts. So, you know, always good to hear, you know, Michael on the show, and, you know, we hope he's doing well. I'm sure he was up early changing some diapers.
That's I think that is in a nutshell.
And I'm not talking about his son. I'm talking about his own diapers.
His own diapers. Yeah. In fact, Remus is a father now. It shows how far this whole thing has gone in 10 years. Let's talk about the evaluation camp. No surprise, of course, that Cole Perfetti gets invited.
Yep.
I mean, this is going to be an absolutely loaded version of Team Canada.
Yep.
Similar to the version, I mean, to some extent, that we saw in Grand Forks during
that
lockout year.
Comparing to that team, because
not comparing, just in some regards,
yeah.
In terms of the NHL talent that's going to be available, that team was a special team.
We were there in Grand Forks.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if Dave, were you there in Grand Forks that year? I'm sure you were watching if you weren't there, but
yeah, I made the drive. You made
the
drive.
That team, like
that team, wasn't even. It wasn't. No, there were no games that were competitive in that series.
That was like talking about like whether you prefer the 2002 Canadian Olympic team or the 2010 Olympic team. Even 2014 was pretty good too, but. I mean, like Crosby, Bergeron, Getzlaff.
There's no comparison.
Perry. I mean, we could go on and on and on and on. I mean, that team, I'm surprised that they even allowed a goal. Nigel Dawes was on that team too, wasn't he?
I think he was, if I recall correctly.
So, I mean, it was just like Shea Weber. I mean, wasn't P.K. Subban on that team, or that was a couple of years later? But regardless, I mean, that when you talk about the word stacked, like, it wasn't just stacked. It was like triple, quadruple stacked.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you ordered that for lunch, in fact, a quadruple stack burger.
Mike Richards, Jeff Carter, Ryan Getzlaff, Burns.
Superstar.
Yeah, Bernsey was on that team. Like, I forgot. Like, you had guys, they could have had, you know, three teams, and they would have finished 1, 2, 3.
You're probably
Nigel
Jaws
was on it, but Anthony Stewart.
Talking about Team Canada this year, it's obviously not going
to
be.
Shout out to Sean Bell as well.
It's not going to be that loaded, but this Team Canada team.
Derek Meach?
Yep.
Are you guys done?
Meacher.
Can I talk? You guys done? This is our 10th anniversary, so we have to fight among ourselves on air like we always do.
Rajon Beauchemin. Wasn't he on that team?
Dave will check. Can I talk about this year's team? Is that okay at this point in time?
Jeff Glass?
You are driving me nuts.
Well, at least some things are consistent.
Was Beauchemin not on that team?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
This team in Edmonton is going to be pretty damn good as well, though. It's going to be a very interesting tournament if, you know, hopefully it does come to fruition, of course. But, you know, I think Craig Button makes a pretty good point there where he talks about that, you know, almost as difficult as anything is going to be is narrowing down these players and figuring out who it's going to be. And I mean, a month-long evaluation camp to me is a little bit excessive.
Well, I mean, but you have players here, guys, that haven't played at all in a long time. Like Dave mentioned this when you're talking about some of the guys like CJ Cease, you know, or Eric Comrie, you know, these guys that haven't played hockey since March. Same thing applies to players in the OHL and the WHL, right? So I understand it, and I think what Canada is trying to do here is even the playing field, right? Because you've got players in other countries that are already playing, like you think of Finland, you think of Sweden, right, Dave?
Yep.
So I think that Hockey Canada, and Scott Salmon was on the afternoon ride talking about that, right? Yeah, I agree. I mean, to have a month-long selection camp in a regular year might be excessive, Drew, but like a guy like Perfetti, you don't think he wants to get in as many games as possible?
Of course. And that's why I think it makes
I know what you're saying. I mean, it's a fair point. I mean, we're talking about guys here that are, you know, and you know, Canada is going to have a stacked team. I mean, Kirby Dach was released. Alexis Lafreniere, I'm not sure if they might change their tune there, but Alexis Lafreniere, it looks like, isn't going to be part of this, which is obviously the Rangers' decision, you have to respect that, but you know, you're going to have so many other good players, so many returning players. Perfetti, I would be shocked if he doesn't make the team, and, you know, you're just going to have, overall, in this tournament, whether it's the U.S., whether it's Finland, Sweden, I mean, you know, Jack Hughes is going to be able to play. Kaapo Kakko is going to be able to play. So all of these teams are going to be ultra competitive. We're obviously following Canada more so. They're defending champions, but you know it's going to be hard to repeat. It always is.
When we come back, we'll talk more about the Team Canada evaluation camp with Sunaya Sapurji of The Athletic. We're also going to talk about the decision, not yet official, but it seems to be leaning that way, that the Ontario Hockey League will not allow body checking this coming season due to COVID. Much more to come. Hour number three up next. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We are live on TSN Radio 1290.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show,
the podcast
on TSN1290.ca, celebrating 10 years of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290 and TSN1290.ca.
10 years come and gone so fast, I might as well be dreaming.
Drew, Dave, Ezra, Mike McIntyre here, otherwise known as a longtime listener, frequent guest, and first-time caller. Congratulations on hitting 10 years, guys. It's been hard to believe. 10 years feels like the amount of time that's passed since we were all together up at Bell MTS Place watching the Jets and the Moose. You know, they say time flies when you're having fun. You guys clearly check off that box every Saturday morning. Here's to another terrific decade on the air, and hopefully all of us getting back to the rink soon and fighting over the good first intermission candy up in the press box.
Hour number three of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show starts now on TSN Radio 1290. Drew Mindell, Ezra Ginsberg, Dave Minuk with you. Big thanks to our buddy Mike McIntyre of the Winnipeg Free Press for his nice words, and I'd like to say we promise not to steal his candy, but I think he knows better than that at this point in time. Want to hear from you. Our Illegal Curve question of the day was, what do you think is going to happen with Jack Roslovic? Come training camp, do you think he'll still be a member of the Winnipeg Jets? You can send us your comments at Illegal Curve. You can send us your comments via text message. Send your texts to 129090. Standard messaging rates will apply. And, of course, our website with the latest Winnipeg Jets news and audio is IllegalCurve.com.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Hotline.
From TheAthletic.com, we're pleased to welcome back to the program Sunaya Sapurji. She covers junior hockey in Canada, and we're thrilled that she's going to be able to join us to talk about the Team Canada evaluation camp and to talk about the OHL and body checking. Sunaya, good morning, and thanks so much for joining us.
Hey, guys, and congratulations on 10 years.
Appreciate that, Sunaya. Thanks so much for that, and appreciate your time this morning. I want to start in the OHL because that seems to be that sort of spread like wildfire late yesterday online. After there was a report from the Canadian Press that said that body checking was not going to be allowed this coming year in the OHL. If there is going to be an Ontario Hockey League this coming year, it's going to have a no body checking rule. Then that was sort of maybe had some cold water poured on it. And then Lisa McLeod, the minister in the Ontario government, said, no, this is going to be the rule. So I guess the question I have to start is, you know, the level of confusion that is going on here, what do you make about all that uncertainty?
Yeah, so actually, earlier in the week, I was talking to some OHL general managers, and they were not involved in the negotiations or the discussions with the government, but they kind of felt that something would be done and they would be able to continue their season, now planned to start on February 4th, with some kind of body checking, with some kind of contact. You know, there had been talk about maybe using full shields, maybe some kind of masks that have been designed for sporting events. And so they kind of thought that this was still going to happen. And then on Friday, when the minister came out and said basically, nope, there's no negotiating on this, they were kind of apoplectic when I reached out to them on Friday, because, you know, she followed up with a tweet saying that this is not up for negotiation at all, even though the government has been in talks with the league about their return to play plans. You know, right now they're scheduled for a 40-game regular season, like I said, starting on February 4th. But, you know, personally, I don't understand how eliminating body checking is going to negate the spread of COVID when you consider things like face-offs and puck battles in the corners, you know, just regular incidental contact that happens even in leagues without checking. So, you know, if you want to look what happened early on in the Quebec League, which is kind of what I think the government said they were basing this on. You know, the QMJHL had a weekend series between the Blainville, Boisbriand, Armada, and the Sherbrooke Phoenix. And in addition to those 26 players that ended up testing positive after those games, there were also two officials who tested positive, presumably without any kind of contact. So I'm not really sure how no body checking is going to make a difference or how that's even going to work for a league like the OHL.
Yeah, I agree completely, Sunaya. And as, you know, Lisa McLeod and, you know, public health and the provincial government, have they given any, you know, scientific reason or any reason, period, why specifically body checking is something that they feel needs to be removed from the Ontario Hockey League? Because I agree with you, face-offs, and I don't think anybody here is going to argue fighting. I mean, there's obvious reasons why, you know, fighting would be removed, but have they given anything substantive in terms of why body checking specifically is something they want out?
No, they haven't, and I think that's kind of the problem, or at least they haven't publicly. And so I think a lot of the people I'm talking to in the league are kind of operating in the dark as to why this seems to be a sticking point for their return to play, to the elimination of body checking, when you consider all the other kind of contact that is still going to happen during a game.
And Sunaya, just, you know, switching over to the World Juniors, which you obviously, you know, cove is not the word I was looking for there. And the announcement came out, and obviously, you know, we pay attention to that closely here because of the Jets and Cole Perfetti in the OHL, and we cover you know, Manitoba Hockey, and we got a couple of players in Damon Hunt and Seth Jarvis who were invited to the camp. You know, in terms of Alexis Lafreniere, I think a lot of Canadian hockey fans and hockey fans elsewhere were a little bit surprised that he wasn't named, but then it's come out recently, you know, that the Rangers could release Alexis Lafreniere to play. Is your, you know, take on this that Alexis Lafreniere will eventually join Hockey Canada at that camp in Red Deer?
I think it's at this point a toss-up. You know, Hockey Canada said that they've been in contact with the Rangers about getting Lafreniere for the tournament. According to Tom Rennie, both sides are going to revisit the discussion in about 10 days. Now, Lafreniere has already played in two tournaments, including winning gold last year, where he was named, like, tournament MVP. So if this was a regular year, you know, I think there's kind of little chance he would be back. But given the circumstances in, like, our new reality, I think the door is now open potentially for him to come and play for Team Canada.
You know, Sunaya, just going back to the OHL for a second, you have, you know, the return to play plan was released a few days ago, but there's three American teams that are playing in the OHL. So what would their plan be? Because, you know, obviously the cross-border restrictions are still in place. Now, what that would look like in February, obviously nobody knows, but has there been any sort of discussion as to a plan for the American teams in the OHL?
Yeah, so on Wednesday, OHL general managers actually had a meeting to discuss some of these issues. And two of the issues they didn't discuss were the body checking and what was going to happen to the U.S. team. So there's still nothing set about what's going to happen to them. Like you said, there are three teams. So I know in the Western Hockey League, they've decided to put their U.S. teams in a bubble, but I think that's a little different because they've got five teams in the U.S. division in the Dubs. So it's going to be a lot easier for them, I think, to have, you know, a regular kind of gameplay. But for three teams, I think it's going to be really difficult, especially, as you said, like if the border remains closed. It's going to be really tough to pull that off. So there's nothing that has been discussed from the general managers I've spoken to about what's going to happen to the U.S. team.
I believe that meeting was titled the Bearing the Lead meeting, because what other issues are there besides those two main issues right now? Obviously, those seem to be the biggest issues that would need to be resolved. Sunaya Sapurji of The Athletic is our guest on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, talking about junior hockey, talking about the OHL and body checking. You know, Sunaya, you know, what do you think it does to the development of these players, if anything, if they have to play a year without body checking?
Yeah, that I don't even know how that's going to work, to be honest, because these are guys who've spent a lot of time playing with body checking. So I think to eliminate it, it's going to be very difficult, for them to adjust, for officials to adjust, for coaches to adjust. You know, I don't think it's as prevalent in the game as it used to be now with players getting faster and more skilled, but it's still a big part of the game. So I really don't know how that's going to work. Like I said, I've spoken to some general managers since this came out on Friday, and they're trying to figure it out too. You know, they don't really know how this is going to work or what's going to happen going forward. But I think the good thing is the season isn't going to start until February. So a lot can change, in that time. So, maybe they're hoping something does change, and, maybe the number of cases goes down and they will be able to have fans or, have body checking again.
You know, Sunaya, a lot of people were surprised, at least a lot of people in Canada were a little bit surprised maybe that Shane Wright was invited, not necessarily because of talent, because he's obviously projected to be, one of the top picks in the 2022 draft, but just because, it's so hard for a 16-year-old to make Team Canada, and especially, with the returning players like Quinton Byfield, Dylan Cousins, Kirby Dach, potentially Alexi Lafreniere, and just overall how much talent there is amongst the 18- and 19-year-olds. What do you think the chances are that a player like Shane Wright, who doesn't turn 17 until January, could make the team?
Yeah, well, I think this year it's a little bit different because, like you said, there are a lot of returning players. But because of what's happening, the IIHF has actually increased roster size for the World Juniors this year. And so I think there is a chance that he could make it. Canada has invited 46 players who they're going to take to camp next month in Red Deer. And so it's going to be a long camp. It's going to be 4 weeks. And so I think he's got as good a shot as anyone. I know, he's very young, but having watched him play in the OHL, like he's a superstar. He's going to be a superstar. So, his selection wasn't, I don't think it was a surprise to anyone who's had the good fortune to see him play.
Last question for you, Sunaya. If you have to look at the Team Canada evaluation camp roster and you have to pick one area of concern, and I know this might be nitpicking, but that's okay, what would that area of concern be from your perspective?
I think that area is probably the area that I would pick every year regardless, and that's goaltending. That's kind of always been... recently at least, an issue for Canada. And so that's where I would say that would be my only concern going forward into camp. But, they've got good players this year. I mean, they've got Kirby Dach coming back is huge for them. So it's going to be interesting to see how camp plays out because, they're not going to have any scouts there, no media, no fans. They're going to be in a complete bubble. So I'm interested to see how this is all going to work.
Sunaya Sapurji covers junior hockey and works for TheAthletic.com. Sunaya, appreciate your time. Appreciate your insight. Thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Thanks, guys. Be safe.
You too, Sunaya. Take care. Sunaya's appearance on the program was brought to you by Bernstein's Deli, official deli of Illegal Curve Hockey and home of the Illegal Curve Sandwich. Located in the Cordon Village Mall, Bernstein's Deli has been Winnipeg's deli destination for over 30 years. For more information, find them on Facebook or at bernsteinsdeli.com. Remember, they do contactless delivery, curbside pickup, DoorDash, whatever you want to do. Bernstein's Deli, they're still available. They're still open to help you out. Support our small local businesses in the case of this current code red here in the city of Winnipeg. When we come back, we give our thoughts on the OHL's no body checking decision that might not yet be an official decision. You know what I'm saying. We're up next. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, celebrating 10 years on TSN Radio. 1290.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
10 years come and gone so fast, I might as well been dreaming.
Celebrating 10 years of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290 and TSN1290.ca.
Hey guys, it's Brian Munns. Congratulations on what has been a very intriguing 10 years of sports radio here in Winnipeg. Here's at least to another 1 week.
Boys, Rick Ralph here. The Illegal Curve is 10 years old. You know, I'm surprised. I thought you guys were about 12 or 13. But seriously, congrats on 10 years. Keep bending the curve of that stick and bending the ears of listeners on TSN 1290. All the best from the afternoon ride.
Talking about the OHL's decision to apparently not allow body checking in this coming year. Very controversial decision, a very odd decision when you think about it in the context of everything else that goes on in a hockey game, particularly, as Ray mentioned there, the players sitting side by each on the bench. Also want to give a shout out to Munsey and to Rick Ralph for their nice words as we're celebrating 10 years here on TSN Radio 1290. We'll talk about the OHL decision, but first I want to check out the Odd Shark inbox presented by Odd Shark, your source for the latest odds from leading authorities. Find your edge at oddshark.net. Lots of nice comments coming in from Twitter, which is really something you don't usually say about Twitter, but we do appreciate all the compliments and all the well wishes coming in. And truly, for our audience, we do it for you. If you guys weren't there, if you weren't listening, we wouldn't be able to do this week in, week out. So we do thank you all for your nice words and for being dedicated listeners for the past 10 plus years, 10 years here on TSN Radio 1290. Gotta give a particular one to Scott Brown from True North, the Jets communications, director of communications. I apologize. I'm sure I'm butchering your official title, Scott. But he says, congratulations to the boys at Illegal Curve on 10 years at TSN 1290 Radio. I don't think Dave has missed a single Jets or Moose home game in that time. Impressive. And congrats to the rest of the crew on having a personal life. So Dave getting the bus drove over him a little bit there. That's by okay. Scott, but it's a nice sentiment. Appreciate it from Scott. Appreciate it from some of our longtime listeners. The Soch and Jimmy Toth is chiming in there. Our buddy Rowdy from the Netherlands. You know, we're huge in the
Netherlands.
Sometimes in BC. I think he's back in the Netherlands. So thank you to everybody for your nice words. We truly do appreciate it, especially, you know, when so much is so bad. It's nice to get some warm and positivity on this Saturday morning. Facebook and Instagram posts, your texts, your tweets, we find them in the Odd Shark inbox. And remember, oddshark.net is your source for the latest odds from leading authorities, expert editorial content, and detailed matchup picks. Find your edge at oddshark.net. So, gentlemen, what do you think about this OHL decision? Does it make any sense in the context of everything else in a regular hockey game as being allowed?
No. You mean the decision of the health ministry in Ontario?
Yeah, the decision. Yeah, sorry.
I mean, I don't think the OHL
is making not the OHL decision. But the OHL is, I mean, they have to go along with it because their ability to play, their return to play document, is contingent on them agreeing to this term and condition.
Yeah, I think it's a. I just don't understand it. And as Sanaya well put it in her interview with us, it makes no sense because you're. And Ray Ferraro said, you're sitting on the benches beside each other. You're breathing heavily on the benches. The contact is going to be there. I mean, I'm sorry, it's hockey. Whether you played it at the highest levels or the lowest levels, there's always contact. Mm-hmm. So what are you going to do? I mean, obviously they're saying they'll allow incidental, but there's no body checking. I get that, but like, you know, you're fighting in the corners. You're going to tell me that's not the equivalent?
I would argue there's probably more personal contact. If you're doing a longer, more
substantial exposure in a puck battle in the corners than in a body check.
And then, you know, open ice body check. How often do you see a clean open ice body check in a game nowadays?
And to me, again, I think what it comes down to is to be that emphatic, to be that definitive in your statements, because with so much unknown, what is the purpose of that? You know, you're sitting there and you're thinking to yourself, we don't know what's going to happen in a week. We don't know what's going to happen in a month. So how can you say by February that this will be a necessary requirement to no longer be in the game? So that's the part of it that I don't understand. That doesn't make a lot of sense to me, is that you don't know what's going to happen. So you shouldn't be making definitive statements. Again, you can say, listen, we may have to do this. But to suggest that, no, it's absolutely that's the way it is, I mean, again, I just don't know. And again, these guys are going to do this and they're going to hit in practice.
Sure.
So unless you're going to sit there and have monitors, and what's the penalty if a guy does it? What are you going to do? Is the health minister going to show up? And again, I'm not mocking her in the sense that, look, I get that she wants to do what's in the best interest of the community, because that's more important than hockey anyways. We all know that. Hockey, you love hockey, but what's the ultimate most important thing? Is that people are going to be healthy and safe and live. So, of course, that's the number one thing. But I'm saying, if within the context, if you're allowing the sport to proceed, and we talked about it off air, I don't mind if you eliminate fighting. Because you can get that, okay, fine, you can get rid of that. But I just don't know how you're going to remove this element of the game.
Yeah, and I can tell you this much. For those who don't know, I work at Hockey Manitoba, and at no point...
now the audience is shocked that he's employed.
Yeah, exactly. But over the last 4 months, and I was lucky enough to be part of our Return to Play committee, and, there were members outside of Hockey Manitoba, outside of the staff of Hockey Manitoba, who were involved with the decisions. At no point was banning body checking even brought up, let alone considered. And when you talk about fighting, there's obvious reasons why fighting would be discussed. But when you're talking about body checking, there just isn't any evidence, that would be something that would reduce the risk of contracting the virus, right? Like we discussed face-offs. I can tell you that we discussed penalties, right? Because, that's something, specifically reducing the amount of players that would be in the penalty box is what I mean by penalties.
Sure.
But, other things that Hockey Canada recommended in terms of close contact, spitting, right? Like, those were things that we adopted as part of our return to play. But body checking, there's just nothing that I've seen to back up the claim that taking out body checking would make the game safer and result in less COVID-19 cases, right? We all know that things that happen off the ice are far more important than things that happen on the ice. So, yeah, maybe body checking is banned for one season because of what's going on with COVID and the global pandemic, but this is obviously going to be a one-off. But, yeah, it's pretty ridiculous, I think, that this is something that's being considered, because it would be one thing if the Ontario government, public health, came out and they said, this is something that's going to definitely, reduce the amount of COVID-19 cases in our province. But Sunaya Suppurgi, said this on our show, just 15 minutes ago. They haven't come out with anything. And they haven't said that this is going to result in less COVID-19 cases and it's going to result in more, safe and healthy players. So that's why it's pretty ridiculous. Yes, of course, body checking is a fundamental part of hockey. So if you take it out, obviously it's not going to, result in maybe the best hockey, especially for players that play a more physical brand of hockey. So we'll see what happens. Maybe, body checking is allowed, but at the end of the day, these are just kids, and we hope that the OHL season resumes. So if that means that there's no body checking and fighting, so be it.
When we come back, we're going to be joined by Wacy Rabbit. Wacy is a member of the Jacksonville Icemen, the ECHL affiliate of the Winnipeg Jets. He's also an ambassador with the Indigenous Sports Council of Alberta. He's had a fascinating hockey career. We're going to talk to Wacy about his career and about his new role with the Indigenous Sports Council of Alberta. That's up next. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, celebrating 10 years on air here on TSN Radio 1290.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast.
On TSN1290.ca. Celebrating 10 years of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. On TSN 1290 and TSN1290.ca.
Hey, this is Zinger from the Jets and the Moose. Just wanted to say congratulations to 10 great years for the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. And a special shout out to Dave Minuk for his great coverage of the Manitoba Moose over the years. Thanks, guys. Continued success.
Shortly past the bottom of the hour, welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Saturday morning, we're live here on TSN Radio 1290. Big thanks to Craig Heisinger, Zinger, as he's well known. Got to take some issue with his praise of Dave there. There's no individual
no
praise.
No, Dave deserves all of it.
Yeah, I guess he does with his coverage of the Moose. It is second to none in the city, so I'll begrudgingly give you some praise there as well, Mr. Minuk. Alongside Ezra Ginsberg and Dave Minuk, I'm your host, Drew Mandel. We welcome you back to the program. You can follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve. We obviously want to hear from you there. You can also do so via text message. Send your text to 129090. Standard messaging rates do apply. And our website with the latest Winnipeg Jets news and audio, that's available at illegalcurve.com.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Hotline.
We are pleased to welcome to the program from the Jacksonville Icemen, Wacy Rabbit is our guest. Wacy, of course, is a member of the Icemen. As I mentioned, he's also an ambassador with the Indigenous Sport Council of Alberta. Wacy, good morning, and thanks so much for joining us.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for having me on.
Our pleasure to have you, Wacy. You've had a fascinating hockey career. I mean, I believe this is going to be your fourth year coming up with the Icemen and your 14th year in professional hockey in total. And we want to talk to you about your career and about your new role with the Indigenous Sport Council of Alberta. But just from a professional's point of view, how bizarre has this offseason been, and what have you been doing to try and keep yourself as game ready as possible?
It has been a bizarre off season for sure. I think I've had two off seasons now. I've had a couple breaks because you never actually know when the start date's going, and then it pushes it back. So, but yeah, I mean, it's a bizarre year for everyone, not just hockey players. For myself, I've been lucky enough. I've had to, like, with the restrictions being lifted here in Alberta, I've got to do some more skating and a lot more of schools that I'm doing right now. I'm actually currently in Frog Lake First Nation. We just finished our first group. Our second group's on the ice right now, so I'm taking a break here to chat with you fine gentlemen.
You know, Wacy, Drew mentioned, you know, you've had a long and awesome career, and you've got to visit, you know, many countries. I think you've played outside of North America. You've played in six different countries, if I'm not mistaken. And at the beginning of last year, you actually started in Romania playing for, it was ASC Corona Brasov. And then you came over and you started playing for Jacksonville in late December. What was that experience like for you? Because when you think of, you know, overseas hockey, Romania isn't, you know, a country that necessarily comes to mind for a lot of Canadians. So how did that all come about?
The league that I was in was an Austrian, Hungarian, and there was three Romanian teams. So most of the teams made up in Hungary and Austria. As the Erste Liga. So the three teams that we went to, there's a couple guys that from North America went to Corona Brasov. And one of the guys I played with when I was in my time in Croatia is the GM there. And it looked like a beautiful city. And I'm kind of like the last couple years of my career, so I wanted to at least try Europe one more time, get to see the world, experience some new things. And just through, I guess, visa issues that I had to come back. But it worked out. I was lucky enough that Jason Christie was had open arms for me, and I got to go back to Jacksonville. And that's where I'm going back, and I think that's where I'm going to spend the last couple of years of my career.
You know, AC, we don't often think of Japan as a place for hockey, but that's where you went after Norway to play for the Paper Cranes. Why did you decide to go to Japan, and what was the hockey culture like there?
Oh, well, I mean, I think for the number one reason is any hockey player goes, it's the paycheck. And after my couple of years in Norway, I think the money was really good. Any guy that goes to Asia, you'll hear that they do pay really well. For me, I've always wanted to go to Asia. Japan was one of the places, and it was different, you know, because when I first got there, I was watching the team practice, and you'd think that why do they have imports? They're ripping around, and they're so fast, and they're so athletic. But they've done the same drills over and over and over, so they almost became professionals at those drills, and then I think some of the hockey IQ is still not there. The game's growing so much in around the world that they're bringing in better coaches. The imports now are becoming less, and the local players are getting a lot better. So I think the hardest thing for me, the hockey was the easiest part, but just the culture shock of not being able to, where I was in northern Hokkaido, is the province of Japan there. There was no English. There was not a lot of tourism, so it was kind of hard. If I did go out, I'd have to go with either a translator or one of the players that did speak English, but it was kind of few and far in between to be able to have conversations with people in the town.
Wacy Rabbit's our guest on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. You're listening to TSN Radio 1290. Wacy plays, or will play, for the Jacksonville Icemen if and when the ECHL season gets underway. Wacy, you were recently named back in July the Indigenous Sport the Alberta's Hockey Ambassador for the Indigenous Sports Council. You know, how big of an honor was that for you, and what does that role involve? You mentioned you're doing a hockey camp right now up on a First Nation. So, you know, what does the role involve, and how do you see your role, your position developing?
I think it's very important. I think especially now with today, with everything with hockey is for everyone. I want to make sure that these kids see that there is representation in the professional ranks. I mean, I may not be in the NHL, but I've played high at a high level for a long time, whether it was in Europe or in North America. And I mean, I love working with youth. That's one of my passions. The game's given me so much that this time in my career and in my life, it's time for me to give back to our future generation. And myself being First Nations, that it holds dear to me. I mean, my hockey schools, they target all mostly Indigenous groups. This is my third camp with First Nations in Alberta. We have another one next weekend, and then that'll be kind of be done for it. And then hopefully next off season, when the COVID restrictions lift, I'll be able to hold bigger camps and bring a lot more rather than just on the on-ice stuff, where I can start doing some off-ice stuff with them as well.
No, Wacy, I had to, double check this with your hockey DB, but you did play with Colin Wilson in 2009, 2010 when you were playing for the Milwaukee Admirals in the AHL, and I saw you retweet, and obviously, a very moving piece in the Players Tribune, among other things, talking about, his battle, with OCD. What do you remember about your time playing with Colin Wilson, and kind of what was going through your head when you read about that? Because obviously he was dealing with, quite a bit when he was, playing in the NHL.
Yeah, I mean, when you're playing, you kind of, you don't really notice those things. Myself and Colin, when we were in Milwaukee, we were actually probably best friends. During the All-Star break, he brought me over. We stayed in Winnipeg at his parents' place, and we got to spend some time there, and we kind of lose touch over this. And I actually, just before the article was put out, I reached out to him, and he was telling me that he was going through some surgeries and he might be done, and just kind of the battles that he had. And, we all have our battles, and especially with hockey players, you're taught at a young age to kind of just play through the pain, whether it's on the ice, but also nobody really talks about what's going off the ice, because you're only at the rink for 3 hours, and from a young age it's kind of, you're just taught to just, you're a hockey player, you're tough, that's your mentality. And I think that's really changing, and I think with Colin coming out with a story for a lot of kids that not only going with those things, but with players with addictions, everyday people, you don't have to necessarily be in sports, but with addiction, I think it's important to start talking about mental health. And I'm very proud of him. He's a great, great man, and I'm really proud that he came out and told his story. And I texted him and let him know that. So I'm very proud of Colin.
That's awesome. And earlier we were talking about your WR20 Power Skills on Ice Development Camp. Obviously, WR20, Wacy Rabbit, your number 20, and that's in Edmonton. And you've been working with some pro players, WHL players. I saw that you were working with Anson McMaster, who Winnipeg Ice fans will be very aware of here in Winnipeg. Is that something that you're going to continue doing in future years? And why was this the right time to officially form this camp and get on the ice with these players?
Yeah, the WR20 was kind of just like, I mean, I love hockey. I have such a passion for it. And right now, I want to start giving back, and the passion for me is the hockey, the development side of hockey, and it kind of just fell into my lap. My girlfriend, her niece actually plays high level prep hockey in the city, and she invited me out when the COVID restrictions lifted. And I do have some training and skills training and edge work, and especially skill specific training. And the skates and the players that were out were all junior A, tier two in Western League Hockey League, like the guys. And I think they realized where I played. And the next time they asked me if I want to do some drills, and I said, this is specifically what I do, is that, I mean, it's specifically edge work, it's skill work. If you guys want to, I'm not going to put you through the, a 60-minute practice. It's all going to be individual skill work. And that was my passion. And then from there, it kind of just grew. And then my girlfriend Ashley said, if you want to do this, you can kind of put your dent in the hockey world through that. So, and from there, I think I started posting on Twitter and Instagram that some of the First Nations have reached out because of the restrictions being lifted from COVID, that they could do it safely. And Anson, for myself, we're both Blackfoot. We come from Treaty 7 of the Blackfoot Confederacy, and he's a young kid, and I want to make sure that he knows that it's important for him to give back, especially to his community, but to Indigenous cultures. And Winnipeg is a high Indigenous population. So I told him, you may not be the Jets, you might not be the Moose, but you are First Nations, and anywhere you go, the hockey world, the Indigenous hockey world, knows where their players are, and they're going to have eyes on you, so make sure you're a good role model. And he was awesome with the kids. I was very proud of him. He was patient. He always had a smile, and he made sure for us on the ice, we just want to make sure that the kids come, they have a safe place, they can be themselves, they can get some work in, they'll be challenged, but they're also going to have fun, because at the end of the day, that's what is most important, is these kids have fun, and they love the game of hockey, and hopefully that rubs off on my love, rubs off on them for the game.
What a great message. Wacy Rabbit is our guest here on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Wacy, thank you so much for your time. All the best to you going forward in all your roles, in your role with the Icemen, and your role with the Indigenous Sports Council in Alberta. And, yeah, thanks so much for joining us and giving us some insight into your playing career and where you're at this point in time.
All right. Thank you, gentlemen. Have a good day.
Take care, Wacy.
You
thanks
too, Wacy.
So much. Wacy Rabbit joining us. He's in Alberta at the moment, and he's going to play for the Jacksonville Icemen of the ECHL. Nice to see a guy playing hockey strictly for the love at this point in his career, a terrific career that's taken him all over the world. When we come back, we talk about Rick Bowness, another one of the good hockey guys who gets to be the full-time head coach now of the Dallas Stars. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We are live on TSN Radio 1290.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast.
On TSN1290.ca. Celebrating 10 years of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290 and TSN1290.ca.
Hey guys, this is Paul Edmonds. There's an old saying in hockey, those that can't participate sometimes officiate, while those that can't officiate often commentate. Congratulations, Illegal Curve guys. You've certainly found your niche in the game and on the airwaves. Sincerely, what a tremendous milestone for the show today. 10 years, eh? Well, make it another 10 and beyond. Keep up the great work and the passion that you guys have for the game. Congratulations, gents.
I really enjoyed working with the players. Just a lot of great people here. Good leadership, again, had a good staff. So probably around January, we started to feel a lot more comfortable in the office. I want to keep doing this, but again, it goes to another level in the playoffs. And once the playoffs started, there is no doubt in my mind that I wanted to keep doing this.
The interim tag has been removed. Dallas Stars head coach Rick Bowness, now the full-time head coach of the Stars. He took over as an interim head coach when Jim Montgomery was let go. And then, of course, he led the Stars all the way to the Stanley Cup Final. A big thank you to Paul Edmonds as well for his nice words and everyone that's joined us on air with those remarks over the past 3 hours. We did not know that was happening, so what a pleasant surprise to hear so many nice comments today from friends of ours and people we respect in the hockey community, and so many nice comments, of course, coming in via Twitter as well. So thank you to everyone for putting a smile on our faces on this Saturday morning, as we hope we've done more often than not for the past 10 years here on TSN Radio 1290. A quick look at the Bodog.net scoreboard. A lot of great college football action happening. It's pretty much the only sport happening right now on Saturday. Great action on TSN, so if you're at home, and you probably are, to be perfectly honest, you're listening to us, you can watch some great college football on TSN. Georgia and Kentucky, my Kentucky Wildcats, 7-0 Georgia so far, but UK is driving in the second quarter. And then Boston College up 14-7 on Clemson. Clemson, of course, playing without Trevor Lawrence, who tested positive for COVID. So that's certainly a game worth watching. You can catch that and lots of other college football all day long on TSN. That's a look at the Bodog.net scoreboard. Head to Bodog for sports odds, poker strategy, and free-to-play casino games. Bodog.net. Make a play. So Rick Bowness gets the interim tag removed from his title with the Dallas Stars. Well-deserved. I mean, no real surprise. This is a guy who came in, as we talked about with Scott Burnside back at the start of hour number two, came into a awkward situation, came into an uncomfortable situation, and led the Dallas Stars all the way to the Stanley Cup Final. So it's nice to see, by all accounts, a good guy get awarded with a head coaching position.
Yeah, and obviously they were waiting for the release of those neon jerseys before announcing the Rick Bowness contract. No, but I actually really like those jerseys. But yeah, I mean, when you mentioned, the Scott Burnside interview, Drew, and, it really was a year that could have gone the other way, right, guys? It could have gone south, even though Dallas is pretty south already. But No, but I mean, you know, when you look at that team and specifically, you know, Jamie Benn, you know, Tyler Seguin, you know, the top guys. And I mean, you could throw Alex Radulov in there as well, but I just love Miro Heiskanen. Like, to me, like, drafting him and the way he has developed into one of the best defensemen in the NHL, I mean, that's a huge part of it. But also a huge part of it is Rick Bonus's coaching. Like, think of the moves and the decision-making that he and the adjustments that he was making throughout the playoffs. And, you know, yes, Anton Khudobin stole some games. Anton Khudobin was a huge part, especially with Ben Bishop being injured, right? And then we remember he came back and then he left, and then we thought he might come back again. But the decision, like, putting Joel Kiviranta in, and then he scores a hat trick.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, he was confident enough in certain players and, you know, what his pro scouts and what his coaching staff was telling him. And that's what you hear a lot about with Rick Bonus, right? Like, he's a player's coach. This is a guy that has so much experience. He was a key part of that Tampa Bay Lightning coaching staff, right? That's why that was such a big storyline going into the Stanley Cup final.
He was an assistant coach with Tampa last year before moving to Dallas.
Right, and for many years, right? Yeah. So, I mean, Bonus is such a good, smart hockey mind, so well-respected. So this is just nice to see him. And you know, we referenced, you know, the two-man Advantage podcast, and he was saying, like, look, like, I'm in my 60s, this is, you know, towards the end of my career here, and he'll probably, you know, this will probably be his last head coaching job, and we hope that he stays there. So just all good news for a great guy.
That's it for this Saturday morning here on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, our 10th anniversary show here on TSN Radio 1290. A big thank you to all of our guests, Dennis Bayak, Scott Burnside, Sunaya Sapurji, and Wacy Rabbit. In case you missed any of the show, in case you missed any of those interviews, it'll be available for download on tsn1290.ca. It's on our website, illegalcurve.com. It's wherever you get your best podcasts. Rate us, review us, subscribe to us. Let us know what you think of the program. Big thank you to our sponsors, Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, Linden Market Dental Center, Bernstein's Deli, and Zappia Group Realty. Support these fine local businesses. I can't emphasize that enough. Support these fine local businesses because they support the Legal Curve Hockey. Big props to producer Sean Asori. He's been with us for a number of years now. He does a great job back at the station. We wouldn't be where we are without Sean. For Ezra Ginsberg, for Dave Minuk, thank you to our entire listening audience. I'm your host, Drew Mandel. If it's Saturday, it's the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN Radio 1290.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast
on TSN 1290.ca.